In an age where we collect followers but feel increasingly alone, the hunger for genuine human connection has never been more profound. The paradox of our time is stark. We're more digitally connected, yet emotionally isolated than ever before. What if the path to meaningful relationships isn't about accumulating more contacts, but about having the courage to be truly known? Stanford's legendary touchy-feely course, whose alumni include tech CEOs and Fortune 500 leaders, has been teaching this counterintuitive truth for decades. The revolutionary premise? Exceptional relationships don't happen by accident. They require the willingness to be vulnerable, to share not just curated highlights, but authentic struggles. In a world obsessed with image management, the most powerful connection happens when we dare to remove our masks and allow others to see who we really are. Exceptional relationships exist on a spectrum beyond mere pleasant interactions. They're connections where you feel genuinely seen and valued for who you truly are. These relationships have six distinctive hallmarks. You can be fully yourself without censoring. You're willing to be vulnerable. You trust your disclosures won't be weaponized later. You maintain honesty even when difficult. You manage conflicts productively, and there's mutual commitment to growth. The first three hallmarks center on authentic self-disclosure, revealing your true self rather than a carefully curated version. Despite our era of apparent oversharing, many of us still present false fronts in our closest relationships. The latter three involve transforming potential relationship threats into growth opportunities. What's fascinating is that exceptional relationships don't necessarily require enormous time investments. What they do demand is courage, the willingness to be known, to learn about yourself, and to understand others. This journey begins with a fundamental mindset shift, viewing relationship challenges not as problems to avoid, but as opportunities to deepen connection. Think of disclosure as three concentric circles: an inner zone of comfort for easy sharing, an outer zone of danger for risky disclosures, and a middle zone of learning where growth occurs. The 15% rule advocates stretching just beyond your comfort zone, like progressing from bunny slopes to harder ski runs. This gradual expansion builds your capacity for authentic connection without excessive risk. Take Elena and Sanjay, colleagues turned friends. When Elena shared a coworker conflict over lunch, Sanjay reciprocated with a similar story. Yet Elena avoided mentioning her difficult boss and previous firing, keeping the conversation pleasant but superficial. True connection comes from sharing feelings, not just facts. Emotions reveal importance, while thoughts simply convey information. Though many workplaces claim to prioritize logic over feelings, emotions constantly influence workplace dynamics, even as we're told to leave feelings out. Building exceptional relationships requires creating conditions where others feel safe to open up. While you can't force disclosure, you can smooth the runway through thoughtful timing and effective questions. Consider Ben and Liam's friendship. When Liam shared about a colleague taking credit for his work, Ben's initial empathy worked well, but his shift to unwanted advice didn't. The conversation improved when Ben shared his own similar experience, yet deteriorated when he pressed for more disclosure. Effective encouragement combines several elements. Empathy, showing understanding of another's feelings, works better than sympathy, which can feel like pity. Self-disclosure helps others open up, while pressing for information causes withdrawal. Success comes from meeting someone where they are by matching their emotional level, addressing their needs, and respecting timing. Advice giving often backfires because it creates power imbalances and misunderstands what others actually want, whether that's processing aloud, venting, or seeking empathy rather than solutions. While people give advice to feel helpful, effective support requires understanding before acting. Balanced influence sustains relationships through cycles of self-disclosure, support, and trust. Even long-term partners continue discovering new aspects of each other, with the focus on meeting needs rather than rushed disclosure. Take Maddie and Adam's marriage. Their initially equal partnership shifted after their second child when Maddie left work to care for the children. As Maddie yearned for adult interaction and intellectual engagement, Adam dismissed her concerns, suggesting patience until the children grew older. Sustainable relationships balance sacrifices with fulfilled needs. Benefits must exceed costs over time. Fairness emerges from rough equity between partners over time, not moment-to-moment equality. When influence becomes unbalanced, destructive patterns emerge. High-influence partners resist input while devaluing their partner's perspective, and low-influence partners withdraw. Either partner can break this cycle, though it's easier for the high-influence person. For those with less influence, like Maddie, change begins with recognizing their role in power dynamics. Unaddressed minor irritations, pinches, inevitably grow into major crunches. Take Jessica and Ryan. Her unexpressed frustration about always initiating contact eventually exploded into a friendship-threatening confrontation that early communication could have prevented. People often avoid giving feedback under the guise of kindness when it's actually self-protection. By suppressing emotions, small annoyances fester until they erupt disproportionately. When David addressed Carol's impatience immediately during a project, it prevented escalating tension. Similarly, a dispute over a dirty spoon between David and his wife revealed deeper issues about household responsibilities and respect. Effective feedback must be behaviorally specific to minimize defensiveness. Every interaction involves three realities: the speaker's intent, their observable behavior, and the impact on the listener. Most feedback fails when people make assumptions about others' intentions. You just don't want to cooperate, or use judgmental labels instead of describing specific behaviors. Pointing out concrete actions, like interrupting four times, is more effective than vague accusations of dominating a discussion. Not every relationship can become exceptional, despite our best efforts. Carol's relationship with her mother, Flora, demonstrates this. Though loving, it remained limited by Flora's need to be right and her inability to receive feedback or grant Carol autonomy. When Rachel confronted Phil about his constant advice-giving, their relationship improved but hit another wall as she sought deeper emotional connection. Despite her modeling vulnerability, Phil remained closed off, admitting that self-reflection wasn't enjoyable and discussing his late wife was too painful. Rachel wanted more than behavioral change. She hoped to transform their dynamic from parent-child to adult-adult. While Phil reduced his advice-giving, emotional vulnerability contradicted his analytical nature and lifelong patterns. Not every relationship needs to be exceptional. Rachel could appreciate their improved connection while finding deeper intimacy elsewhere. Adding yet to limitations transforms hopelessness to possibility. Fear remains the primary obstacle to exceptional relationships: fear of judgment, rejection, or damaging connections. These fears limit growth and prevent real connection. Paradoxically, taking risks to build exceptional relationships ultimately frees us from those same fears. In a world that prizes perfection, allowing others to see our imperfections becomes revolutionary. The path to exceptional connection isn't about flawlessness. It's about being brave enough to be fully known.